USARadio.com.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
And we welcome you back. You are about to get more and more of the best in money information courtesy of this here Bucket Strategy Investing program. I'm Johnny Dean, got our returning champion, Professor Rick Plum, here with us once again from Lucia Capital Group, ready to help you out with your money questions. Lots to talk about this hour. We won't get to all of it, but we'll get to as much as we can. So our topics, as well as answers to more of your emails, those are coming up. And of course, we're going to make sure that we get to your phone calls as well. Look right now. I just looked right. I went to the phone lines in the other room, and I saw that all the lines are open. If you're a new viewer or new listener or whatever, and you're not sure how to proceed, here's what you do. All right. You call us with your money questions. Our lines are open. 877-PLANNER. We're here to help you out. 877-PLANNER. We answer your questions right here on the program. That's exactly how it works. Simple, right? 877-752-6637. We do try to deliver to you the strategies that are right for you, and we do that every day here on the program. If you want to add to the list of emails, I know we got a lot to get to. In fact, we're going to start with a couple of emails while we wait for you folks to call. You can add to that stack by going over to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. You can also follow us on Twitter, and you can like us on Facebook. You go to either one of those places, search Wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. Get social with us, all right? That's the way you do it. Professor Rick Plum, here with me, certified financial planner, here, of course, as always, from Lucia Capital Group. I would suggest if you need to talk to an advisor off the air, in fact, I would urge you, I would demand that you do this. You call Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Their off-air number goes thusly, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. You should find out if your retirement goals, your individual goals are being met, your needs, your goals, all of that. Your situation is unique to you, and the Brain Trust will help you out with your own plan. They've got access to a network of Brain Trust advisors all across the country, every single one of them. You talk to an advisor in one spot, they have access to Professor Plum and everybody else. So you can give them a call off the air, 800-644-1150. You can call us here, too. Once again, Brain Trust here to help you out, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Had some great questions so far. If you were listening in the previous hour, we talked about Social Security for a mom who was 72 and a dad, both of whom were on disability. That was kind of a tough situation. We had a question on a loan for granddaughters, gift loan, some very generous grandparents helping the granddaughter go through medical school. We had questions on safe money. And we had some questions here on Social Security, which tends to lend itself. We had a bunch of those yesterday, too. And some of these, I think, just came in either after the show yesterday. So this one came in from Bob in San Diego, California, who is asking this via the email. It says, I applied and suspended my Social Security benefit when I was 66. I'm now 69 and a half, and my doctor has given me some bad news. Oh, man. Is it too late for me to get all my missed payments back? My wife is still working, and her benefit will be better than mine.
Those are all key important issues. You were 66 when you suspended. You're 69 and a half now, which means that you suspended well before April of this year. And because you suspended your benefit before or in April of this year or before, you still have the rules that were available to us before April, where you could undo a suspension. and you could restart your age 66 benefit. Now, you were waiting until 70 to start your benefit, so you would increase the benefit by about 32%. If you go back and undo this, you won't get any of those, what they call delayed retirement credits. You won't get that increase for the past 3.5 years for waiting. You'll go back to your 66 benefit or whatever the benefit was the day that you applied for it and then suspended it. And that's the number that you will get. So let's say that you were supposed to get $2,000 a month when you applied for it, and then you suspended it immediately, and then you were hoping to let it grow to like $2,600, $2,700 a month if you had waited until 70. But now you've gotten, unfortunately, some bad news from the doctor where longevity just doesn't seem to be as...
It's not in your future
it's
anymore,
It's not
really.
There anymore.
Yeah.
So you want to go back. You can go back to the age 66 benefit of $2,000 a month, restart that $2,000 a month benefit from here forward, and get a lump sum check for a cumulative amount equal to every one of those checks that you've missed since you suspended your benefit. Now, this is no longer available for anybody who suspended their benefit after April of this year. April 2016 saw a rule change. And anybody who suspended prior to that, voluntarily suspended it prior to that, has this option still available to them up until they turn 70 or turn their benefit back on. But anybody who suspended after April will not have this option available to him ever again. So he's in the age group that allows him to do this. And the key here also is his wife's benefit will be larger than his. So we're not deferring it so that she has the largest survivor benefit. We were deferring it because we expected Bob to live a long time. Unfortunately, some news has come out that means he may not have that longevity in his back pocket. And so it makes more sense. Now, he's going to get... Potentially, let's assume that was that $2,000 a month, and it's been 42 months since he suspended. Well, that's a pretty good sized check, $84,000, depending upon what his actual benefit was. Now, the next question somebody may want to ask is, well, is that going to create a very large taxable event? Because I'm getting this huge lump sum benefit from Social Security paid in 1 year. And the answer is probably not as big as you thought, but there will probably be some taxation to it. But there is a way to, and it's a very complicated formula. This is where accountants really earn their keep. Another one of those areas that they are just blessings that you have a good accountant. It's almost like a value averaging thing where you can look at it. Is it, how would it have been taxed in the years that I should have been receiving it over the past 3.5 years? And if it wouldn't have been taxed in those years, you don't have to pay tax on it now. Even though you're receiving the lump sum now, there's a way to go back and there's a formula for determining how much of it would have been taxable in those other years. And then you pay tax on that. So it's not like you're getting a big $80,000, $90,000 lump sum that's going to be 85% taxable. Maybe some of it won't be taxable because getting a $24,000 a year may not have created the same taxation as getting $84,000 in 1 year. So there is a formula for trying to kind of spread the tax out.
So they've seen this. They've looked ahead and said, "This we can do it this particular way, which might ease the tax on it a little bit."
And the formula is a pain. I will tell you that right now.
But it might be worth it.
Well, it'll definitely be worth it to pay an accountant to do it.
Well, unless you love numbers so much. Well, that's true. If you're getting an $85,000, $84,000, $85,000, or even higher.
Or maybe more.
Whatever. Who knows? Payment, and you were planning on, you know, maybe a $30,000, $35,000, income for that year, and all of a sudden your income more than doubles.
Right. In the year, if you had been receiving it all along, maybe you were going to pay tax on $8,000 of the benefit instead of, $17,000 of the benefit. Well, there are ways to go back and basically kind of make it look like you're only going to pay tax on the $8,000 again each year.
Right, exactly. So it's a formula, but let the accountants
deal. Let the accountants deal
yes.
with it.
Okay, now just to be clear on this, this goes back, if you were just tuned in, Bob's question. He is able to do this. He is able to go back and get payments, missed payments, all the way back to whatever day that he filed.
3.5 years ago, presumably.
Yeah, whenever he turned 66, he's able to get payments as if the checks have been piling up all that time, get all those checks, and then start his age 66 benefit. He's able to do that because he did the file and suspend before the time ran out.
Right, the time ran out in April. If you had, even if you were old enough, but you didn't suspend, the time ran out for you if you did not suspend by April. And you had to be full retirement age to voluntarily suspend in the first place. So this is one of those benefits. We talk about the restricted application being taken away for anybody that was born after January 1st, 1954. This is the other side of that, the file and suspend. This is a lesser used option of the file and suspend. Mm-hmm. Normally we use the file and suspend to allow somebody else to draw a benefit from our work record while we waited until 70. If you didn't suspend by April of this year, you don't have that option. Well, this is the other side of that option you also don't have. You don't have the ability to undo it and get a lump sum check for the missed payments.
No. Now, you can go back.
You can still suspend.
You can go back is it 6 months?
But not for suspended benefits.
I'm talking about for regular benefits.
Well, and for signing up for a benefit. Mm-hmm. If you were eligible for a benefit for the last 6 months or more, you can go back and retroactively sign up 6 months later.
Yes.
And still get those 6 months. But that's not signing up, suspending, and getting a retroactive check for benefits that I could have been receiving but chose to suspend. That's for benefits that I was eligible for but I hadn't actually applied for yet.
Yeah.
There's a difference between having applied for it and suspending it and then being eligible but not even applying for it and then going back for it.
In Bob's case, he can go back and get 3.5 years. Everybody else can go back and get maybe 6 months, but they can't if they suspend it. Now, you can suspend. You can suspend, and your benefit will grow.
You suspend at age 70.
Exactly. And then as soon as you unsuspend, well, you're going to start getting your benefits from that point forward.
And there are certain reasons why being able to suspend the benefit still makes some sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nowhere near the usefulness that we used to have out of it.
No. And a lot of it has to do now with the family benefits and so forth. Okay, we got to take a break. We got more coming up. Greg's got a question in Vancouver. We got lines open for you. 877-PLANNER. Our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group are coming right back. Bucket Strategy Investing.
Are you worried we may see another stock market drop like the 2008 collapse? In a new video, Ray Lucia Jr. comments on investor concerns.
They're worried about what happens when this bull market eventually ends and how severe of a downturn there may be for them in the future.
If you're looking for some potential protection from volatility, learn about the risk buffer strategy by watching a free video now at riskbuffer.com.
For those investors who want to take some risk off the table of their longer-term portfolios, a risk buffer strategy may be appropriate for you.
Depending on the investor, there are many ways this strategy may potentially be added to your investment mix. Please take 10 minutes to watch a free video in which Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy and how it may work for you at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group.
If you were born on or after January 2nd, 1954, listen carefully. Recent changes enacted by the Social Security Administration as part of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 may impact your Social Security benefits. The policy that previously enabled spouses at full retirement age to claim spousal benefits while allowing their own benefit to grow has been discontinued. This could mean the accrual of additional benefits may no longer be available to you. Changes will also soon be implemented regarding file and suspend claiming strategies. Find out the latest rules, regulations, and restrictions by calling the Social Security hotline at 800-838-0483. The call is free and may clarify some of the new Social Security rules that could affect your benefits. If you were born after January 2nd, 1954, you could be affected. Call 800-838-0483. 800-838-0483. The Social Security hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like AccuCheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today.
Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. We're moving offices and it's a giant pain in the...
Bubble roll?
What?
Well, Staples has bubble roll, packing tape, all kinds of boxes, everything you need to move and all at low prices.
Great. That's a giant load off my...
Packing peanuts?
No.
Shrink wrap?
No, but now moving will be a walk in the...
Packing tape?
Sure.
Get low prices on everything you need to move at Staples. And right now, Staples brand bubble roll is buy two, get one free. Staples, make more happen. Offer valid on same SKU only.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
Well, we got some great tunes today for you, folks. And it's not even Friday.
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's got a feel to it a little bit, though.
It does. Thursday has a... it's close.
Yeah, you can almost taste it.
You almost, yeah, we're right there. We are real close right there. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. You can get on board and ask us your questions. You can also talk to us via our email system at wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com. We will answer your questions in either format. And since we are a little bit behind on emails, I will get to these while you folks out there watching and listening, give us a call, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Barbara in San Clemente, California is asking this: are IRA contributions only deductible against earned income? I'm mostly retired, but I have a part-time business where I sell my artwork online. I've made $3,800 from this business so far this year, and I also have pension and rental income of $6,100 a month. Can I still make a deductible contribution, and if so, how much?
Well, you need to have earned income to support the IRA contribution. Did she say how old she is? She didn't mention.
She says she's mostly retired. So
mostly
I'm
retired.
Guessing.
So as long as you're not mostly retired at 70 and a half or older, you may be able to make a deduction of as much of the net self-employed income as you show up to the limits of the IRA contribution. You've made $3,900, but in many respects, probably you're going to write some of that off due to some business expenses. So you've got gross receipts of $3,900, but you've got the cost of goods sold, this, that, and the other thing, and you'll write that down a little bit. If you write it all the way down to zero, so you show no business profit, then you have no business making an IRA contribution. You need net self-employment income, net Schedule C income, or wages. And since you're not working for wages, you have to look at the net Schedule C self-employment income. And to the extent you have net self-employment income, you can make an IRA contribution. And depending upon your overall adjusted gross income level, you may or may not be able to deduct that. But you won't be able to put the full $5,500, $6,500 in because you didn't make that much in earned income. You have to have earned income to support it. And if you don't have earned income, and that's not the gross receipts of the business, that's the net Schedule C self-employment income, then you can make a contribution either to a Roth or a traditional IRA. Because now I'm assuming you're under required minimum distribution age. If you are at required minimum distribution age or older, you are no longer eligible, even if you have earned income, to contribute to a traditional IRA. You could do a Roth, but that's not deductible, and you mentioned deductible. So yeah. a little bit of things going on here, like how much net self-employment income you have and whether or not you're at required minimum distribution age or not.
Yeah, they don't let you deduct twice. You said that after business expenses, and I don't know how big this business is. It may not be very big, but there probably are a few business expenses. You can't deduct, even if she deducted the full $3,800 that she's making. You can't take that, and even if she could, even if she is eligible to put it into a traditional IRA, she can't deduct it both ways.
Right. I mean, there are several layers of eligibility. One is your age. Assuming she's young enough, she may potentially be eligible, but now you need earned income. And if you don't have earned income, doesn't matter what age you are, you can't contribute unless you're filing a joint return with a spouse that has earned income. And then you can basically use some of their earned income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen this also where somebody's working past the age, you know, of retirement basically in their life, but they're working part-time and they're putting all of their money into the 401k at work, either Roth or traditional, at their part-time job. So they're not, you know, they may be making $10,000, and they're putting $10,000 into the Roth 401k or the traditional 401k. Well, they can't then, and they say, well, I have $10,000 of earned income. No, you've already used those dollars to support a different retirement plan contribution. You can't use the same dollars to support two different retirement plan contributions, a 401k contribution and a traditional IRA contribution. So
yeah. So if you made $18,000 in a year,
and you put it all into you're a second income for the household,
right? So you put the whole thing into a 401k because you're under age 50, and then you say, I could also do a traditional IRA.
Unless you're married to somebody with income, because you don't have any income left to support it.
Exactly. Now, if you went out and you made another $5,500 or so of earned income, W-2 or net Schedule C, well, yeah, then you could put it into the IRA.
Yeah, but the big issue is, do you have net Schedule C income, and are you under full required minimum distribution age? You say you're basically retired, but you're selling some art and doing things like that. What's your net?
Now, okay, so you mentioned required minimum distribution age. What happens once you hit required minimum distribution age from the traditional IRA or deductible IRA standpoint?
You cannot contribute to a traditional IRA. Flat out. Once you've gotten to the year that you turn 70 and a half or older, you are no longer eligible, regardless of the other eligibility factors, income limits, earned income, and all that. Don't matter anymore. You're too old, unfortunately. You cannot do a traditional IRA contribution. You can do a SEP, but that's a different game. That's a business making the contribution. You can do a Roth IRA because it doesn't have a required minimum distribution. But a traditional IRA, not anymore. You're done.
Yeah, there really isn't any reason that I've been able to find necessarily why the congressional rules dictate that you can't put money into a traditional IRA. I mean, yes, you're required to take money out of it, but putting it in, I mean, to me, it's never made a whole lot of sense.
It might be that in the older days, it was just too hard to track and keep track of whether people were excess contributions, not making the RMDs, things of that nature. You also made the statement you're trying to figure out why Congress did something with tax law.
It was just an observation. That's all. I'm not looking for an answer.
You're trying to layer in logic. Now, actually, there is a certain amount of logic that I can usually find in the tax law, the way they're writing it. This one's just a rule. It goes back to kind of with the old parenting thing. Because I said so.
Well, and that's it.
You can't do it because Congress said so.
Well, we had a question once about why 59 and a half? Why 70 and a half? Why not make it? Oh, and by the way, the 59 and a half, not the 70 and a half, but the age 59 and a half, which allows you to take money out of your retirement plans without penalty once you reach age 59 and a half, is the actual day that you turn 59 and a half.
That one is based on the day, whereas the 70 and a half rule is the year that you turn 70 and a half. It doesn't matter whether you turn 70 and a half in January or 70 and a half in December. It's the tax year that you turn 70 and a half for the required minimum distribution. That's your first year of a required minimum distribution. The 59 and a half rule is 59 and a half when you turn 59 and a half. Now, if it's a 401k, the 55 rule for getting money out of a 401k when you turn 55 or older is the year you turn 55. Consistency is wonderful.
Well, it makes me realize that I think the people putting these laws together have no real idea what the real world application is on these things. If you are 59 and a half on July 1st, all right, of whatever year, you were born on January 1st, so you turned 59 and a half. Did I do the math right? Yeah, July 1st would be half the year.
Very good, John.
July 1st, you turn it. If you took money out of your
June 30th.
Yeah, 401k. You did it today, right? That's today. And your birth 59, you were born on January 1st. You will be penalized. If you waited until tomorrow, you would not be penalized the 10%.
But the required minimum distribution is the year you turn 70 and a half. The age 55 exemption to the premature distribution penalty is the year you turn 55.
Yep. All right. They were all rules made at different times and for different reasons, and for whatever reason, we don't know. But this is why we're here. We're here to help you out. You don't have to understand this. We do. Ask us your question. Lines open, 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We're coming right back.
If you're investing in the stock market, you know there may be reward, but you know there will be risk. So consider this. Would you sacrifice some of the gain you may get with your investments if you could potentially reduce some of the risk and potentially cut some of your losses? If you answered yes, you need to learn about a risk buffer strategy. With a risk buffer strategy, an insurance company insures your investment for a certain percentage of loss over a given period of time, and you determine the level of protection you get. Watch a short video at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. That explains how you can potentially reduce risk when the market may be down, but still capitalize on stock gains. Can you find a way to manage risk in unpredictable markets? Watch the video at riskbuffer.com. Riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and address their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
After a rough day on the range, a feller can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can tell you that GEICO could save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not go straight to the source?
Hey, Harry's Money here. And the day Harry went to GEICO.com and switched his car insurance was the day I got to hang around. Finally, boys bonding, bada bing, bada boom. No wonder GEICO has 97% customer satisfaction. Personally, I give him 100, but that's just my 2 cents. That was funny.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
Now we got room for you on the phones, 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, here from Lucia Capital Group. I want to get through some of these emails as well. And we still had this topic of, somebody asking about value or growth investing, which one does better? We'll get into that. That requires a little bit of background on both, though, so we will have that. Also, buying an annuity inside of an IRA, good or bad. These are all topics that I think I said make a note of that. We're going to talk about that for 1 hour at some point. We never did. And also undoing a Roth conversion. So we'll get to some of this. As I said, I want to cover some of these emails, though, because we've had these here, sitting here for a little while. Greg in Vancouver, Washington. We got to Greg's first email a couple days ago. This is his email from part two, or I guess it's a totally different question. But he is asking this. Hi, Brain Trust, a Social Security question. I have a friend that was born May of 1955. Her husband, born in 1951, married for 12 years, got divorced. Her ex-husband died last year. Can she still file for any of his benefits when eligible and let her benefits grow? Thank you.
Well, she was born in 55, so that makes her 61 right now. And as long as she's single at this point, she is potentially eligible for a reduced widow's benefit. Now, whether she wants to take it or not, there's also the issue of she has to be making less than, call it $16,000 a year in earned income. She is eligible if she's not working and making too much money. If she's making too much money, she's not going to get a benefit until she either gets to her full retirement age or she quits working and quits making more than, call it $16,000. But the widow's benefits are eligible. You're eligible for a widow's benefit as early as age 60. Now, that is a reduced benefit. So whatever his benefit was when he was receiving it, if he was receiving a benefit, or whatever it would have been at full retirement age, or if he had started it at the month that he died, if he was over 66, that becomes the starting point for the widow's benefit. And if your friend applies for it before she gets to her full retirement age, 66 in 2 months, it'll be reduced. How much will it be reduced? Depends on how early she applies for it. It's reduced based on the number of months prior to her full retirement age that she applies for it. Now, one of the keys here, though, is that she does not have to apply for her own benefit first. She can apply for the widow's benefit without applying for her own. That's a different game than we play with the spousal retirement benefit. The reality is, whether she should apply for a widow's benefit or wait until 62 and apply for her own benefit, it depends on how big each of the benefits are. If her benefit is equal or similar, maybe a little bit smaller than her late ex-husband's, she may want to take his benefit now, even though it's reduced, and leave her benefit grow until age 70, collect the delayed retirement credits, grow to a point that's larger than the benefit she's receiving, and then switch over to her benefit at a later time. On the other side, if his benefit is significantly higher than hers and she wants to retire, she may want to wait until she's 62, apply for her reduced benefit, and then switch over to the widow's benefit at age 66 and 2 months, her full retirement age. So there are some questions and strategy things to deal with between now and full retirement age. Now, the widow's benefit, if she's working or if she wants to max out the widow's benefit, she would wait until her full retirement age to apply for the widow's benefit. Anytime she applies for it younger than that, it's going to be reduced. So if she's looking to maximize it, that's where we would look at going. But we do have to look at what her benefit looks like too, to see which one is going to be maxed out the best. Remember, her benefit will grow and continue to grow all the way until she reaches age 70. The widow's benefit will grow or not be reduced. It'll grow basically up until the point she gets to her full retirement age. So even if her benefit is slightly lower than the projected benefit from the widow's benefit, it may grow longer. It will grow longer and may become larger by the time 70 rolls around. So we have to look at how to.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of different scenarios involved in this kind of a thing. And not knowing the exact amounts, it's hard to really give a strategy answer on this particular question. But she is eligible anyway. So
she's old enough if she's not working.
Right.
And she's still single. Now, if she's still single, but she's thinking about getting married, get the benefit now, because once she starts the benefit, assuming she's not working, they can't take it away from her for getting married after she starts receiving the widow's benefit.
Yes, widow's benefit, you become eligible for it at age 60, and then from that point, even though you're eligible, they got to find out, well, you're still working, because then it can be
then
reduced.
You're not ineligible.
Because, well, I mean, you can make some, but you can't make more than.
So let's find out whether she might want to be taking it now, or she may want to wait.
877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. You have questions, get on board. We will talk to you about whatever's on your mind. George in Seattle, Washington asks an interesting question here, and I think we've had this before. Last year, I made a non-deductible contribution to a traditional IRA, then immediately converted those funds to a Roth IRA. 1 week later, our pension plan was terminated, and I had to roll over my 401k assets to an IRA. Are the rollover amounts included in the determination of the tax liability related to the IRA conversion? Or are they excluded because at the time of the rollover, the non-Roth IRA balances were zero? This is a timing issue right here, Professor Plum.
It is. And so when he did the Roth two-step, is what he did, there was no other IRAs in his name. But sometime between when he did the Roth two-step, made the contribution and rolled it over to or converted it to a Roth IRA, and the end of the year, he transferred a bunch of money from his 401k to his IRA. So what day do they determine the taxation of what's happening? And unfortunately for George,
it's a year?
It's December 31st. Yeah. What was the IRA balance on December 31st of the year the conversion was made? So they're going to look at this as a taxable event for the most part. The larger that 401k rollover, the more taxation that conversion that happened earlier in the year, even though there was no other IRA at that point, it will become a taxable event because they're looking at everything as of the end of the year. Now they're going to take into consideration transfers back to 401ks and some other things. But yeah, the IRA balance is the amount that's looked at the end of the year. That's why if I start the year with an IRA and I transfer that money into a 401k or something of that nature outside of the IRA world but over back into a retirement plan at work, that helps because now I don't have that money in an IRA. So it's not the start of the year they're looking at, it's the end of the year they're looking at.
Yeah, so you could do the Roth two-step and still have, you know, other IRA money in there.
As long as you got rid of them before the end of the year.
And sometime before the end of the year, you could take that IRA money, the non-converted funds, and move them perhaps, if they'll let you, into a 401k somewhere out of the IRA.
If you have the eligibility to move the money to a 401k, yes.
So once again, it has to do with what happens by the end of the year. You have all the activity happening throughout the year, and then at the end of the year, once it's reconciled, now it's too late to do anything about it because he said it happened last year.
And in some respects, it's better to do the conversion, the Roth two-step conversion, before you roll the money to the 401k. Because that way you know exactly what your basis is. You know exactly what it is, but you don't know what the value is on any given day because there may be some interest earned or some other things. So if you've made that $5,500 contribution, non-deductible, to your IRA, you can say move $5,500 exactly, and now your basis in the IRA is completely zero, not a zilch. You've taken all the after-tax money. And then you roll 100% of whatever's left. 100%. So even if it had a dividend, even if anything else,
it's
gone. It's over to the 401k at that point.
Okay, so people might be saying, why does it matter?
Well, it matters because it becomes a taxable event on his Roth two-step.
All right, so let's explain why. Because the Roth two-step really you should do this into an it works best when you have no other money in IRAs.
Right, because if what they do is when you take money out of an IRA and transfer it to a Roth IRA, or when you take money out of a traditional IRA and just distribute it to yourself, the taxation's the same. If I have after-tax money in the account, they're going to look at that as the distribution as a piece of the overall IRA pie. That you can't specifically identify the dollars that are inside the IRA as pre-tax or post-tax money. So they look at it as a percentage. Well, if the only money that is in the IRA, and I'm talking about the account, I'm talking about your entire IRA world, is after-tax money, then the only money that's being withdrawn or converted is after-tax money. But if I have after-tax money in the IRA, and I've got a bunch of pre-tax money in the IRA as well from rollovers or previous 401ks, now the distribution is going to have a pro rata effect. And in general terms, generally, it's a very small portion of the IRA
usually
that comes out as a after-tax component.
Yeah, so you might have $90,000 of IRAs, you know, it's all pre-tax. And the
$94,500 of regular IRAs.
Okay, we can make the, all right.
And then I put $5,500 in and convert that as an after-tax contribution and convert that to my Roth. What's the percentage of after-tax money to the overall IRA?
94.5%.
94.5% of it is pre-tax money. And so, therefore, any distribution or conversion during that year is 94.5% taxable.
So you can't say, well, no, I only want the pre-tax.
I don't care how good of an accountant you are in this case.
Yeah.
You cannot specifically identify the pre-tax and post-tax dollars in the IRA.
Even if you have two totally separate IRAs.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. Okay. Great stuff. Thank you for that question, George. We got more coming up. We'll tell you what's on the program tomorrow. We got some trivia and another email or two and your phone calls. Lines open, 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, coming right back.
It's one of the most common concerns for stock market investors.
Nobody knows when the next market collapse is going to happen.
Ray Lucia Jr. on the Risk Buffer Investment Strategy.
Really, the question is, how do we prepare for the next market downturn?
Many investors fear another severe market drop.
They remember 2008 like it's yesterday, and they're looking for ideas and concepts where they may be able to protect some of their portfolio. And that's where a risk buffer potentially comes in.
Spend 10 minutes watching a video that explains the risk buffer concept and where it may fit in your investment strategy. Now online at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com.
Within the strategy itself, there's lots of ways to customize it.
Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy in a free video. Go to riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuer subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group.
Social Security rules that may affect your benefits are changing in 2016. Do you know how you'll be impacted?
My question has to do with Social Security and...
The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 changed the way some couples will file for Social Security benefits.
Are we each allowed to take a spousal benefit on the other?
The rules that previously allowed a spouse to claim a partner's benefit while allowing their own benefit to grow have changed. If you were born after January 2, 1954, you may have questions about the laws affecting restricted claims on spousal benefits. Call the Social Security hotline, 800-838-0483. Find out if you'll be affected and if there's action you need to take. Call the free Social Security hotline, a resource for updates on changing rules and regulations. Call 800-838-0483, 800-838-0483. The Social Security Hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
QL1, this is Control, checking in to see how excited you are for launch. Over.
Well, actually, Control, I'm kind of bored.
I think you cut out, QL1. It sounded like you said you were bored.
That's affirmative, Control.
You're about to travel 17,000 miles per hour through Earth's atmosphere, and you're bored?
It just doesn't sound that exciting after using Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I was able to get a completely online custom mortgage approval in minutes.
All right, you cut out for sure this time. Did you say I can get a mortgage approval in minutes?
That's right, Control. Minutes. Whether you're purchasing a new house or refinancing your existing home, Rocket Mortgage securely pulls your pay stubs and bank statements to build you a custom mortgage solution so you get exactly what you want.
Wow, that is exciting.
Yep, definitely better than months of dehydrated ice cream and powdered orange drink.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Rocket Mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
A Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. Birch Gold Group offers peace of mind for your nest egg through a rollover to an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the long-term stability that gold provides by investing in a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today at 888-999-1351 and receive their free information kit on gold. Call 888-999-1351, 888-999-1351.
Bucket strategy investing. We do talk about strategy. We talk about buckets. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. In fact, coming up on this program tomorrow, sometime in the first part of the hour, although I'm on a roll with these emails, but sometime in the first part of the hour, we're going to be discussing actual buckets. And this has to do with filling buckets one and buckets two. And that will require perhaps a little explanation as to what the buckets actually are.
Is that like thing one and thing two?
I don't know. What is thing one and thing two?
You don't like the lyrical events of Dr. Seuss?
Oh, Dr. Seuss. Oh, that. All right.
Cat in the Hat?
Oh, the Cat in the Hat. All right, I get it now. All right. No, filling buckets one and buckets two. This is what we're talking about tomorrow. You can call it thing one and two. The reason we're talking about it is because interest rates, have you noticed where interest rates are, Professor Plum?
They're relatively low.
They're a tad low. The 10-year was somewhere around 0.9. No, it's not that low. But it was about 1.45, 1.5, somewhere in there. And you want to try to earn something on safe money? I mean, nobody wants to keep bucket one filled for 7 years with just money markets or, standard whatever, savings accounts. That doesn't work. You got to keep it safe. But what do you do over the course of 7 years, which is what we recommend for bucket number one, by the way? I've seen 2 years, bucket one, 3 years, not enough time. Filling buckets one. Oh, and by the way, you've also got to get years 7 through 15 covered in bucket number two. Now, you have a little bit of time working on your side, but even then, Professor, filling buckets one and buckets two, when you're not making anything on quote-unquote safe or what's supposed to be safe money, is a real challenge.
It's a big challenge, and but there is a premium for safety, and that premium is lack of return. It's what you're not going to earn because you want that safety. You're willing to give up the return, mm-hmm. potential return, to have that safety. That's just the way things work in this world that we have today. Not going to earn much.
Exactly. So anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow, some of the challenges of doing so. And there are different products that you can use. There are ways to structure bucket number one with different going maybe a tiny bit more out on the risk curve. Not a lot, but a tiny bit more. You can, have hybrid buckets and that kind of thing. So
just a matter of what's available and maintaining the liquidity that's available, that's necessary at any given time.
Yep, relative safety. Can I say safety? I said safety. Somebody got on me the other day for saying safety too many times, but I'll say it. Then it'll probably come up tomorrow. Safety and liquidity.
How many times do you want to say safety?
And say it over and over again, because that's what we're looking for. All right, anyway, coming up, that's coming up tomorrow. Okay, trivia for today. This coming from the Treasury Department. Boy, they've been inundating my inbox with stuff this week. The Treasury Department. The folks that bring you the dollar, or whatever it is they do. The U.S. government is projecting fiscal year 2016 spending of $3.951 trillion. That's trillion with a K. Equal to 10.8 billion with a D, billion of daily outlays.
It is a dilly.
Now, 3.951 trillion. What do you got? You got what? 300-400 million people, something like that. And, you know, 3.951 trillion, you got a military, you got all the stuff that's going to spend money on. I mean, it's not that much. I mean, it's a lot.
It's chump like change.
Yeah, it's chump change. So anyway, $10.8 billion of daily outlays. Okay, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Want to get to at least one more email here. Let's see if I can get one that's not going to take too long. This one just came in from Ben in Las Vegas, Nevada. My wife and I turned, see, I sense a theme here. My wife and I turned 66 next year, which is our full retirement age. Her Social Security benefits are more than double mine. At 66 years old, can I start collecting my benefits while my wife collects spousal benefits? She will continue to work until age 70. At 70 years old, can she start collecting her own benefits while I collect spousal? If not, can I collect my own starting at 66, then change to spousal when my wife retires? Okay, a lot of things happening here, Professor Plum. He's talking about taking advantage of a restricted application.
Right, and so to be able to have the restricted application, you had to be at least 62 by the beginning of this year. They're 66, or will be 66
next year.
So they're 65.
So, yeah.
Check. You made it. You still have, both you and your wife, still have the restricted application available to you. Now the question is, which one of you are going to do it? Your wife is going to continue working. She has the higher benefit. And assuming we have some longevity, that's the benefit we want to postpone taking. So what we could look at doing is having you apply for your benefit at 66, start receiving your benefit at 66, and your wife take a spousal benefit from your work record. Once you're 66 and apply, and once she's 66, she can still apply for the spousal-only benefit because she was 62 by the beginning of this year. She's eligible. She's grandfathered in or grandmothered in. She's okay. She can do this. And then at age 70, she can then start receiving her increased 32% enhanced benefit. Now, depending upon whether at that point you can have a benefit from her work record or not, depends on just how much larger her benefit is than yours. Not how much larger her age 70 benefit is, but how much larger her age 66 benefit is from yours. I think he said hers.
She says it's more than double. I'm assuming that this is the full retirement age benefit.
Right, they're talking about age 66.
Yes.
Your potential spousal retirement benefit will be based on her full retirement age benefit, not the increased age 70 benefit. So if her full retirement age benefit was $2,500 a month and your full retirement age benefit was $1,000 a month, then the spousal retirement benefit, once she applies, is going to be equal to the difference between your full retirement age benefit that you started at 66 and 50% of her full retirement age benefit. You'd pick up $250 a month. It's not going to be 50% of her $3,300 a month age 70 benefit. The spousal benefit is not based on the delayed retirement credits. It's based on the full retirement age. But since her benefit at full retirement age, you've said, is more than double yours, there will be something there for you. In the example I used, there would have been about $250 a month. You'll continue to get your benefit plus another $250 a month in my hypothetical illustration. So that's
now,
what's going to happen.
What if by that time he's been taking it since 66. His benefit because of cost of living adjustments is now higher than what half of her full retirement age benefit would have been.
Well, her benefit will increase too because the underlying formula increases along
okay,
with
so
it.
Okay, so it's not the actual dollar amount at age 66. They apply
it's the benefits as going forward.
So they apply an increase to that as well.
That's my understanding.
Okay, all right. Just occurred to me as we were talking about that. We're out of time. Okay. Well, we didn't get to Charles and Beth. We will get to them. If you need the brain trust off the air, you want to talk to Professor Rick Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors. They're available all across the country, by the way. You can reach them at Lucia Capital Group. Their off-air number is 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. That's all the time we have for today. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. It's Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.